Good morning. Welcome to Catalyst. Glad you're here this morning. It's an exciting day. I'm excited, especially the fact that six people in our church are getting baptized today. And I hope you will come out and support them and join us later for the baptism at 5. I'm sure most of you, if not everyone, has heard this phrase before. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but what? Words can never harm me. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never harm me. Now, I'm sure we've heard that because maybe our mom or our dad or someone shared it with us as a tool we could use when other kids are teasing us, right? And so it's almost like it was supposed to be this, magic formula that if we say this word, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never harm me. An invisible shield would cover us and cover our hearts so that the words of that person would have no impact. It was kind of like putting up the hand to them, right? And saying, your words mean nothing to me, right? Your words have no impact. They have no ability to affect my life. You know, in this day and age, I kind of think some of that thinking is probably good in light of this age of, microaggressions or like political correctness or hypersensitivity. I think we do need a little bit of this, a little bit of, that's just words, I just let it go, I can ignore it, I don't have to take offense by it. But the truth is, I think the truth is that words are very powerful. Words are very powerful, and they do impact us. And words can be used to either heal and bless or to harm and to hurt and to damage. Let's look at this verse from Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21, it says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I like the Message version for this verse. The Message says this, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Wow. Words kill or words give life. They're either poisonous or bear fruit and healing, and it's up to us to choose our words. Right now, a lot of our small groups are going through this curriculum. It's called a cleansing seminar, and the topic right now in that curriculum is the power of words. I just want to make a shout out. If you're in a small group and you're going through that curriculum, I want to encourage you to go through the devotionals. I know it takes discipline, but it only takes about 10 minutes every day. I worked really hard on them, and so please go through those devotionals. But, and if you're not in a small group, and I just encourage you to be part of a small group. There's space available in different small groups, and at Catalyst, the way you grow spiritually, one of the key ways is to be part of a small group. So just a plug for our small group. But that whole section of the cleansing seminar is about the power of words. Look at some of the other verses that refer to the power of words, the power to bless or the power to harm through the words we say. Okay, look at this. First, power to heal, Proverbs 10, 11a. The words of the godly are life-giving fountain. Do you want to be a life-giving fountain? Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. And the Bible talks a lot about the power of our words to bless, but it also warns us about the power of our words to damage and cause harm. Proverbs 11:9, with their words, the godless destroy their friends. With their words, the godless destroy their friends. Proverbs 16:28, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. And we've seen today in society, right? The damage, the harm, the destruction, the strife that words can cause. Proverbs 18:7, the mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. And then Matthew 15:11, Jesus himself says, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. And so words are very powerful. In fact, the Bible teaches that they are so powerful, the words can have an important role in our eternal destiny. They have a role in our salvation, our eternal future. Look at this verse from Romans 10:9. It says this, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so this verse says two parts. It says, if you confess with your mouth, that means with your words, you proclaim your faith. You proclaim your trust in Jesus. You proclaim that he has died for you, died for your sins. And because of him, we have access, intimate relationship with God, with the Father. So if we confess that with our mouth and believe in our heart that God indeed raised him from the dead, it says what? You will be saved. You will be saved. There's God's part. What is God's part? He raised Jesus from the dead. That was God's part, and he accomplished it. All the forgiveness of our sins, guilt, shame, all of that covered by the blood. Eternal life, intimate fellowship with the Father, secured by God the Father, raising Jesus from the dead. That was God's part. What's our part? The confession, the testimony of our words, of our words. You know, last week I talked about end times. It was a heavy, heavy, heavy message. If you want to see it, it's on our YouTube channel. But, you know, after the message, when I came up to close the service, I just said, I'm wrecked. And I thought, oh, I wonder if people they probably don't know what happened to me. After I gave the message, I went down and sat, and then I felt the Lord said, go to the front. So I came to the front, and I knelt, and I just started bawling. I was just weeping, and then I felt the Lord say, prostrate before me. So I just laid flat on the ground before the Lord, and that whole worship time, I was just like bawling. And I think because of the message and the whole thing of giving it all to the Lord, giving it all to the Lord, you know, giving our possessions, our homes, our families, our future, our reputation, and our lives. And I felt like this, the Lord was just, I think on the one hand, it was just breaking, like giving that to the Lord. And then on the other hand, just tears of just gratitude and joy because of the Lord, of seeing the Lord in his glory. And that's why I was totally, totally wrecked last week after the message. But in that message, you know, I talked about there, when the end time comes, when Jesus is ready to come back, there will be signs. And we talked about some of those signs. And then there's a passage in Revelations that I didn't share, or we didn't look at, that talks about some keys to overcoming the enemy in those last days and even now. And so the verse is just one verse from Revelations 12:11, and it says this: "And they have defeated him," and the him is Satan and the Antichrist and the enemy, "and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." And so again, there's God's part. What is God's part? The precious blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. The blood of Jesus that is super awesomely, divinely powerful to cover all of our sins, all of our wrongs, every wrong thing that we thought, did, said, all the guilt and shame associated with that, covered by the blood, forgiven by the blood. That was God's part. What is our part? They overcame what? By the blood of the Lamb and by their what? Testimony. By their testimony, by their words, by their confession of faith in Jesus Christ and their belief in God. Jesus himself says in Matthew 10:23-24, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." And so Jesus himself says, you know, we're going through this series, the real words of Jesus. These are the real words of Jesus. Jesus himself says, hey, if you confess me with your words, with your mouth, if you stand up for me, I will stand, I will go to bat for you before the Father. You have no worries. Your life is secure. Your future is secure with me. But if you deny me before men, if you say you don't know me, then I will deny you before my Father. I never knew you. And so our confession is important. That's why today the fact that 6 people are getting baptized is awesome. Because the baptism is the public confession. It's when you stand up symbolically before the whole world, before the public, and you're saying, yes, I confess, I believe in Jesus. I have received Jesus, he has saved me, and I committed to following him. That's why it's so powerful. That's why it's so, that confession of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. You know, 3 people today, 3 of the 6, they've wanted to express, gave them an opportunity, they wanted to share their testimony. They want to share their story of how Jesus, the Lord, has impacted their life. And testimony is so important because, number one, like I said, it's a confession of faith. They also will be sharing about how God has changed their life. God is real. God is alive. The Holy Spirit works in our lives, and they're going to share about how God has transformed, has changed, has made a difference in their life. And finally, probably the most important, it gives glory to God. It gives glory to God. It's their story, but it's not primarily about them. It's about what God has done, how awesome God is, how good the Lord is, how powerful his love is. Psalm 71:15-16 says, "I will tell everyone about your righteousness. All day long I will proclaim your saving power. Though I am not skilled with words, I will praise your mighty deeds, O sovereign Lord. I will tell everyone that you alone are just." And Psalms 105:1-2, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, Yes, sing his praise. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. And so he gets the honor. He gets the glory. And so this morning, I'm just excited because three are going to come and just share their story. They're going to share their testimony of how God has impacted their life. The first is going to be Kailani Minami. And then she's going to be followed by her mom, Stephanie Minami. They're both getting baptized. And then the third one is Brian Kamikawa. And so I'm going to call up Kailani. Kaylee, can you come up? Go get it, girl.
Thanks. Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Kaylee Lonnie. It's nice to meet you. I'm so excited to talk to you today that I have been planning this for a week, like 2 weeks now. And the Lord is so faithful because he brought me this speech this morning. So when the pastors really talk about, like, Lord, give me something, and then it's only in God's timing. He's just so faithful. So this is my story. Oftentimes we think eternity is something way out there in the future. It's forever, so what's the rush? Heaven is only for people who die, and I didn't plan on dying anytime soon when I left God to live life on my own terms. I was 19. I felt invincible. I felt young, strong, and capable of anything. My life motto, this is so funny, it was live fast, die last. So I did everything I could to live fast with the expectation that my choices would never catch up to me. But the thing about humans is that we're made in the image of God. Our purpose is to reflect him. So if we spend too much time outside of our true identities, we start to lose ourselves. For me, I didn't know who I was, why I was here, what I was doing with my life. I felt like a hopeless wanderer, like on a never-ending cycle of same story, different day. Here we go again. Until one day, I was just so sick of it, and I was on the verge of physical death. So I desperately gave God another chance. Oof. Give me a microphone, and I, like, start crying. So I grew up in a Christian family, and coming back to God at 24 was like seeing an old family member after years. You know, I believed he was this, like, terrible person. He was the worst person ever. And then I started to realize, like, okay, I think I was remembering him wrong because he's doing all these things for me, and I just don't deserve it. I started to see him in the little things. And one of them was at this tiny little coffee shop. I was invited to a local worship concert, and I was packed into this, like, tiny, like, sweaty little room with all these young adults. And I remember just having this intense, like, anxiety and fear because I was around a bunch of strangers. I spent a lot of time at music festivals. And so I'm used to, like, fighting people just to stand up or making sure the people around me aren't trying to hurt me or take advantage of me. But this time, it was different. It was really weird, but everyone was there for Jesus. The band was a facilitator. They weren't the object of worship, and people were just shouting, like, I love Jesus, and crying and hugging each other, and I was so confused, like, okay, I thought you invited me to a concert. I'm not really sure what this is, but I think I might like it. And as the band started playing this song, I listened to the lyrics, and the song spoke of how the Lord sits enthroned on our praises. So in that very moment, it felt like heaven opened up, and right in that room, it was like we were just vacuumed up into heaven. I just had this realization, looking around at the people around me, I was like, every single person that I see here is going to be someone that I spend eternity with in heaven. And I'm like, wow, God, I get to do this forever someday in heaven, like hang out with all the homies and sing and get to be in your presence. Like, that is awesome. So because of that moment, I see my life in a new light. Whew, okay. I'm not waiting to go to heaven someday in the distant future, way out there. I'm living in heaven right now. When I accepted Jesus as Lord of my life, I invited him to live right here, like in me, in my heart. So everywhere I go, I carry him with me. And I'm living in him now. And he completely covers me so that the old self is gone and the new self is here. So I'm not a wanderer anymore. I'm not lost or confused. Now I have hope. Now I know the truth because I found the true way, the only way to heaven, which is Jesus. As he guides my steps, I'm just amazed I get to live this awesome life just because he loves me. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So today, just with my testimony, I want to encourage you to believe that God so loves you. And don't wait to live in eternity now. That's it. Okay, this is my mom. This is Stephanie. Thank you. I made my mom cry.
Hi, everyone. Man, I was crying during that because I've watched her journey. And those of you who we've been in small group together, you've prayed with me over her. So you know what we've been through. And it's amazing. God is so good. Praise God. You know, I accepted the Lord when Kaylee was 2. So I always gauge my walk based on how old she is. And so it's been 24 years, and this is my testimony. It's going to be a long story. just kidding. But I'm going to tell you about the most amazing love story ever. And that'll be my testimony. Sometimes we go through life, we're looking for just the perfect partner, someone who loves you just the way you are, who understands and encourages you, comforts you, and grows you. Someone that even in your worst days accepts you and loves you unconditionally, forgives you and never holds your shortcomings against you. Someone that loves you no matter what and will never, ever leave you. That's Jesus. He's the lover of my soul. And so what I've learned through the last 24 years, this testimony is going to be a little bit different. It's because it's been 24 years and I have never been baptized. This is what I've learned with 100% certainty. I share this with everybody, like, this is what I know about walking with Jesus. It's been a roller coaster. It hasn't been always ups and downs. He's always been faithful. I've been the one that has been going here and there. But first, I just know that Jesus loves me and he accepted me just as I am. I'll always remember my altar call song, which is "Come Just As You Are." And that was so freeing, knowing that no matter what my past life was, all of my regrets, all the things I knew I did wrong, was totally forgiven, and my slate was wiped clean. I know for sure that 2 Corinthians 5:17 is totally true. If anyone is in Christ, you're a new creation. Jesus has always been pursuing me during the darkest time of my life, and this is part of my testimony that many of you have already heard. When my marriage fell apart, I totally felt like a failure and unworthy of his love. And so, in that time, I rejected him completely. But no matter what, I know that Luke 15:4 is totally true. He'll leave the 99 to go after the one lost sheep. No matter how far I ran from him, he kept pursuing me, and he brought me home. And I knew that Romans 8:38 was certainly true. Nothing could ever separate me from God's love. From then on, I knew my life was no longer my own. I wanted more of him, to know more, to be more, to do more. And just like that, he opened the door and paid my way through Bible college. And when I was done, I said, "God, I'm yours. Do as you will with me." And that's exactly what he did. He placed me in a place where I could serve others. He showed up. So, what I really know with 100% certainty is Matthew 7:7. It's totally true. "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened." So I also know that ultimately, the intensity of this love affair with Jesus is going to rest on me. I need to pursue him too. I know for sure God does not lie. Kaylee's testimony is a testament that his word is faithful and he is faithful to his promises. Proverbs 6:22 says, "Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." In talking about Kaylee's testimony through, like, when she became saved again, I told her, "I remember the day we sat in the car in front of the house, and you told me you did not want to follow Jesus anymore. But," and this was a big but for her, "but I know that God is real, and I just can't walk away completely." And so I was okay with that. I knew his word was true. So I let that be. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident in this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So back to Kaylee. When she was going through her hard times, I prayed fervently, and the Holy Spirit is like, "Girl, why are you so worried? Honestly, don't you know what I'm capable of? Just sit back and watch." And that's exactly what I did. A lot of times people didn't understand why I was so calm and confident and hopeful and peaceful during her traumatic years. And it was because I knew God's promises and what he said he would do. And I trusted in Romans 8:28, knowing that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So, even though I don't know God's plan for Kaylee, or what that might look like, I know it will be revealed and it's going to be good. But I trust him completely, not just with Kaylee, but also with Kaya, with Koa, with everything in my life, all my loved ones whom I'm praying for salvation. I know that it's going to be good. I just need to do my part, and he'll do his. So the big question, guys, is why now? Why am I finally getting baptized after 24 years. Well, you know when you read the word and you know what it says, you know what God expects of you, but there's that little part of you that's kind of rebellious still. Still holding on to your own ideas and the way you think things should be and like resistant. That would be me. I was a little rebellious. But finally, I finally let go of the last vestige of my rebellion. And I gave up what I knew God wanted me to give up. And with that comes full obedience. I can no longer plead ignorance to his word. And his word says, I should be baptized. And that's what I'm going to do. So 24 years later, along the way, he has answered prayers. He has healed. He has comforted. He has encouraged, strengthened, and empowered me. He has been everything that I've ever wanted in the perfect life partner. And me? What am I doing? I'm still dying to self every single day, growing in Christ and being transformed into his image, because it's a lifelong process. So I'm enjoying the journey. I don't, like, you know, every day is an amazing day. And honestly, I'm more in love than ever with him. I'm more all in than I've ever been. I'm more excited about my future. Even though I have no idea what's next, I know it's going to be so, so, so good. So it's me and Jesus for always and forever. That's it.
Wow, that was good. Good morning. My name is Brian Kamikawa, for those that don't know me. I wasn't planning on giving my testimony this morning because this is like one of my biggest fears, getting on stage and speaking publicly. But I decided to say yes to God's prompting to share my story publicly. I believe he wants me to do this to help me let go of my past and the person I used to be. And more importantly, I just want to give God all the glory for always protecting me, blessing me with a fruitful life, and for transforming me into who I am today. Whew, sorry, I'm nervous. You know, he's changed my thoughts, feelings, and actions so much that when I was writing this down, I actually felt like I was telling somebody else's story. Growing up, I always believed in God and that Jesus died for my sins, but I never really worked on building a relationship with Jesus. When I got to junior high, all the kids I knew from elementary went to a different school, so I felt really alone. This, along with the new freedom my parents had given me, it put many new temptations in my life, and all these temptations, I easily gave into them. This led me down a 22-year road of drugs, alcohol, and a violent gang lifestyle, which was filled with sin and misery. In the beginning, it was all fun and games, and then the violence became more extreme and the losses more real. Rumbles and shootings happened all the time, and going to hospitals, psych wards, jails, and funerals became normal. I have friends that have been stabbed, some that have been shot, some that have overdosed on drugs, and some that have taken their own lives. The more violent and traumatic my life became, the more I turned to drugs and alcohol and farther away from Jesus. I grew more and more resentful towards God every day. In my mind, I was a victim of my circumstances and environment, and I blamed God for all my fears, loneliness, and suffering. I was so angry and violent that nobody wanted to be around me except a few loyal friends. In fact, there was a 12-year period. Sorry, I lost my place. There was a 12-year period where I didn't see either of my sisters or any of their kids. I know. The cops knew me by name, pulled me over every time they saw me, and they were at my house multiple times a week. One time they were at my house taking me to a psych ward, and they told my father that they knew I was involved in a shooting, but they couldn't prove it, you know. My parents finally got so fed up that they tried to kick me out, but I refused to leave. They ended up having to get a restraining order so the cops could force me out. Sometimes my friends let me stay with them, and the rest of the time I lived on the streets, sleeping in parks and dumpster diving to survive. In 2006, my father passed away, which led me to become even more self-destructive. I wanted to die, but I was too chicken to commit suicide. A year after my dad passed away, I passed out behind the wheel while driving drunk and drove 50 miles per hour into a brick wall. I woke up in Long Beach Memorial ICU. The nurse told me that the night before I was ripping out the cords and IVs, and I was telling her that I was a horrible person and why wouldn't she just let me die? But you know, God has always had other plans for me. Even though I turned my back on him and blamed him for everything, he was always there for me, protecting me and using my experiences to mold me into the man I am today. In January 2017, I finally was able to get sober. I spent the next few years slowly rebuilding my life, and I was very active in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous was very good to me. I learned a lot while I was in that program, but through my time in the program, I kept seeing things that went against everything I learned as a kid growing up in church. I believe this was God trying to get my attention, and you know, he was trying to urge me to start focusing more on Jesus. By the time COVID lockdown started, I was completely turned off by the things being said in AA about God. I also started feeling the same loneliness that I felt as a kid. I could sense God wanted me to reach out to people that I knew from church growing up. I reached out to a few people that I knew, including Pastor Barry. After we spoke, Pastor Barry contacted me and asked me if I'd like to be introduced to Pastor Sam, and I said yes. Things snowballed from there. I started meeting with Pastor Sam regularly. We talked about hearing God's voice, and he helped me start being free from the bondage of my past. He asked me if I'd like to meet Jeannie, and again I said yes. Jeannie started helping me identify the things that were blocking me from connecting to the Holy Spirit, and to also help me identify God's purpose for my life. Around that time, Barry also connected me with Ross and Ida. They welcomed me into their small group, where I've always felt supported, loved, and free to be myself. You know, and ever since this, things just keep moving down this path, and it just hasn't been losing any momentum. What shocked me the most was how quickly things took off, and I couldn't believe how many people volunteered to help me, most of whom I'd never met before. Through them, and with their help, I've been able to experience God's love for me, hear Jesus' voice, and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. In this short time, I've developed relationships that are more intimate and real than any I've ever had in my life, and I've never felt judgment, just encouragement and a sense that people really want what's best for me and to help me grow closer to God. I learned that I didn't just survive my past, but that it made me who I am today through Jesus Christ, which gives me inner peace and allows me to accept myself and be happy with who I am. I've learned the importance of connecting to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and how to hear God's voice. I've learned how saying yes can be so very life-changing. I've been able to gain healing from my past and have learned how to work at being free, all thanks to Jesus Christ and grace from a loving God that never gave up on me and loved me unconditionally. Thank you.
Love you, Brian. Really proud of you. I knew Brian from when he was just a little kid, their whole family. And you know, the Bible's true. When we're weak, then we're strong. And God's real. Jesus Christ is real. What he did is real and true. And you've heard a powerful testimony of how, what a difference. And you could ask anyone, almost anyone in here, and each of them have a story of how God has worked in our lives. Gosh, I kind of don't know how to. I'm going to call Peter up, and Peter and Jillian and John and Josh, the Han family. Today is their last Sunday with us. You know, we've been supporting them. I've had a relationship with Peter for quite a while now, and you know, when I think of you, when I think of the Han family, we kind of joke because it's our real life K-drama that we follow. And you know, through Zoom calls once a month with Peter, and then now with all of you here to just share lives. And I can say that because you, in faith, decided to come to the United States. They just came to the United States. They really feel called to go to Singapore, but they felt like the Lord told them to come to the United States. And I could say that because you obeyed the Lord in coming to the United States, it's impacted the future direction of our church significantly. And so they just mean the world to me and to our leadership. And I just wanted to pray for them, and we wanted to pray for them before they go. And you know, I talk about testimony with our words, but there's even a significant, powerful testimony with our lives. And when I see your lives, and I know it's been challenging and many trials and difficulties for all of you, and for Josh too. And John, I know it's not easy to have these two as your parents. Because they are very all in for God and live by faith, and that's not always easy. But we're just so blessed to be family with you. And that their lives, I think it's a witness and a testimony to us that going all in for God and seeking to live by faith, it's possible to do to a high level. And so I know we got time, but maybe if you want to just give a quick update, Peter, or one of you feel led to share, you can. Yeah.
As Barry said, I had no intention to come to United States for 8 months ago, because the place where I was much more, in quote, humanly speaking, safer than United States. But God was stirring my heart. And then, so I made the commitment to dissolve everything that I have accumulated over the course of 5 years in Korea, and then to come again with just 6 luggage. And then we were here for 8 months, and it was a privilege, an honor, to spend time with you guys, to be with you guys. Because I always said, Cattle is my family. Cattle is always my family. But the only time that I was able to spend was one time, one Sunday per year. And I felt always, not guilty, but there's something more that I wanted to contribute to Catalyst. And so this time, the Lord was making me available and possible to be here for the past 8 months, to spend time with the elders and the leadership, to seek together for the course of Catalyst 2.0. And I believe so strongly that Catalyst is going to be catapulted for the next segment of God's season. And it will be glorious. The later glory will be so glorious than the former glory that you have experienced for the past, 13 years. It is going to be incredible. An incredible journey of adventure. For us, again, we will leave on Wednesday to Germany. I know why Germany. I don't know. Don't ask me why Germany. Okay? If you really wanted to know, ask the Holy Spirit and maybe He will reveal to you. And if you are getting anything, please let me know, because I am anxious to know. But we are in obedience. Again, with 6 luggage, we will go to Germany. And we don't know how long we are going to stay. I mean, the maximum amount that we are able to stay is 90 days. I'm expecting 1-2 months, hopefully. We will see. But it's going to be an adventure of faith again. Just obeying the Lord, knowing that He has spoken and that I wanted to trust. And after that, I hopefully expect to be in Singapore, but I don't know. It is going to be, I will know. Julian said, don't say I don't know. So I will abide in my wife's word. I will know that the Lord will have us in Singapore. But I'm all for these young people who came up and sharing their testimony, because as you know, some of you guys, my life was also down the hill as I was 16, going to prison twice, etc., etc., etc. Why I'm willing to pay this price is because I wanted to see the next generation coming to Christ, experiencing God's love that they have never experienced before. Not just in the format of Christianity, but beyond what we can understand. Because God is a God of creation, of everything, so that you can experience God through everything. That these young people have chance to experience God through everything. That's my desire. That's my hope. And that's why I wanted to walk this faith journey. And thank you so much that I can call you guys as my family and that I can be your family. It is an honor and joy. And I told Barry last week, because I was so compelled to say that, whenever Barry says, I need you, Peter, I will be here. I will be here. You will know that I will be on an airplane the next day and I will be in LA. And maybe staying at Hotel Bob.
I have just this one sentence. I give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. He was so faithful to us. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
I think what we're going to do, I just feel led to, I was going to have the elders come pray for them, but I feel like it's more family time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you guys to sit down on the steps, and then I'm going to have the worship team come up, and we'll just close in a few songs, and If you feel led, I want to encourage you to feel led to come up. If you have a word for them, if you want to pray over them, just bless them, whatever you want. Please don't hesitate. I know, you know, since we're coming back in person, you know, we haven't done as much praying in front and things like that, but maybe this is an opportunity to break through some of that, right? And to just lift them up and pray. And so, let me just have a word of prayer and then we'll have some worship. Lord, thanks so much. To you be the glory, God. To you be all praise for what you've done in Kaylee's life, in Stephanie's life, in Brian's life, how you are so faithful to them, Lord. And because of that, they could share of your wondrous, marvelous deeds. They could proclaim how good you are and how real you are. And Lord, thank you so much for Peter and Julian and John and Josh and their family. You have used them to bless us. And I know that they are a living sacrifice to you. And so, Lord, do as you desire. Do whatever you want to do in their life, because I know whatever you do in their life will be good and will be the best and will be full of your love for them. So, Holy Spirit, just continue to move powerfully in this time. Release prayers and blessings over the Han family, Lord, during this season, God. Thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So during this worship, if you feel led, come on forward and please pray for them and bless them.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.